You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Villa, the Park Senior Villas here at La Cañada, just south of Ina Road. Please stop by. Bob Allison here at the Park Senior Villas has a beautiful spread of coffee, pastries, and various delicacies, as we like to say. Stop by and say hello if you want to grab something on the way to work. We're on La Cañada, the west side of La Cañada, just south of Ina. You'll see the big, you'll see the Calvary Church on your right, and then you'll see a big blue wall monument sign that says Park Senior Villas. Make a right and just kind of keep going until you see the administration office, and look for Building C, and we're just to the left. So just follow the aroma of coffee and really good pastry. Of course, the Villas at La Cañada is in the Park Senior Villas is an assisted living memory care, and it's kind of a neighborhood. It's kind of a cool concept where people live together in large houses and communities. They have shared kitchens and social facilities. So we'll find out more from Bob Allison coming up about that at 6:30. But please join us for that. They're going to be doing, through 9 o'clock. And then what's going to happen is you stop by for a tour today. Let us know that you heard them on the radio on Wake Up Tucson. And they're going to send you home with a delicious family size pizza to bake. It's called the Tour Take and Bake deal. So please join us. We're at the Villas at La Cañada. Remember, Tuesday they're going to be locking me in the Biosphere 2 for a remote between 6 and 9. Some of you would like to, of course, do a fundraiser for maybe the Sister Jose Women's Shelter or something, that if we raise enough money, they keep me in there. Some of you said to get me out, we might keep you in there. So, Ed Alexander, how are we doing down at the old ranch?
Sounded good to me. Just good. How you doing? You know, it's a little warmy this morning, but it's not bad.
We're used to it, so.
Well, it's kind of cloudy and warm this morning.
Yeah, but it's not really humid yet, so it's just
that's our best forecast for you today. Good morning.
I've got the brewed coffee over here, though.
I know you have the brewed coffee. I'm sorry.
Just saying, that's good.
The coffee here is good. It's almost on brewed level here, so that's all I can say. So,
okay.
Good morning to Oro Valley Mayor Joe Winfield. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Chris. Happy to join you on your 10th anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sir. I try to make it easy for you today. It was only a 4-minute drive for us to come to work this morning, as we say.
You're right. You did make it easy. I appreciate that.
So here you are. You are now, several months into your administration of being the mayor of our fair town.
Uh-huh.
And what have you found? What are the things that you found maybe you weren't expecting about, you know, being a mayor of a town that now you're getting the reality of it?
That's a good question. It's a question I get asked, and I guess there's a variety of things. I'm continually impressed with the residents of our community. As one example, I was at the Interfaith Community Center visiting with their executive director. He says a lot of the volunteers that they have that take people to doctor's appointments and provide service there at their facility off of Ina, a lot of their volunteers come from Oro Valley.
Okay.
Met with one of the deans at the University of Arizona in Humanities. Likewise, he said they offer a variety of courses, and he said a lot of their students come from Oro Valley, some of our senior citizens.
Okay.
And, of course, there's the folks that volunteer in the schools, in the Oro Valley Hospital. I don't know that it's an entirely a surprise to me, but it is gratifying to know how much our community contributes, not only to our town, but to the region as a whole.
They also pay lots of attention on how their local government's going.
They do.
Which is good.
It is good. And, of course, I was a part of that community. We do have, it's a mix, right? I think that there are many people that are involved and engaged. And clearly there's also folks that are doing the day-to-day things of earning a living and raising a family. caring for parents or other loved ones, but we definitely have an engaged community, which is very positive. That's reflected in the robust boards and commissions that we have. One of the things that was gratifying to me as a new mayor is that we had approximately 75 applicants plus to our various boards and commissions. And we interviewed, for example, on the Budget and Finance Commission, I think we had upwards of 18 to 20 applicants.
That's great.
Yeah. And we incredibly talented, knowledgeable individuals. So that's another area where I've really appreciated. And of course, as a council, we rely on our boards and commissions to do some of the more in-depth study and work for us. So
you just passed your first budget.
We did.
Tell me about the process and what are the couple of things that came out of this budget.
You know, that process began early in our with the new council. It goes back to January when we met together to begin outlining our strategic leadership plan for 2020-2021. So the budget is guided by that. I think some highlights, of course, we are adding four police officers. Something that was not known to us is that, and I say that as a council or to the new council, was the fact that our public safety police department was understaffed, and what that was resulting in was not the Chief Sharp talks about 40% proactive, 40% reactive, and then 20%, and it was drifting more over into being reactive rather than proactive. So we were happy to be able to add four officers. The budget it remains flat essentially from the previous year, so that was important to us.
Sure.
In terms of providing some fiscal discipline and stability, and some highlights. There'll be some investment at Naranja Park, a new playground facility, and there's...
Is the playground facility in Naranja improvements going to try to mitigate the... we have people driving around the field and the kind of the dust and things
right.
like that. So what is that going to help mitigate some of that?
It will help. It's not, Naranja Park is a large area.
Yep.
And this will, and because we're developing the park incrementally, dust and undeveloped areas are going to continue to be, an issue. But certainly the playground and the infrastructure that will support that, there'll be some additional parking, so that it will help.
All the young brothers and sisters who are forced to go to their brothers and sisters' soccer games and lacrosse games are going to be thrilled that they have something to do.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of happy parents, and one of the other things that's going to be happening at Naranja Park is in partnership with Tucson Electric Power, we'll be putting in some solar panels, and those will be attached to basically shade structures over the parking area. I think staff is looking at the possibility of the placement of those maybe closer to the field, so that as parents and families are standing and watching their kids play, they may be able to do that in the shade. Naranja Park is not known for having a lot of shade.
Correct.
So,
but again, it's one of the nicest parks, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're a soccer dad, I think.
Correct.
Maybe a coach.
Used to be.
Okay.
They retired me. So let's do this. Ed, let's go to break. It's about 6:15. We'll do one more segment with Mayor Joe Winfield from Oral Valley. Bob Allison from the Park Senior Villa is coming up at 6:30. Remember, on Tuesday, we'll be at the Biosphere in the morning. And then Ryan from Eagle Force Security, which, of course, is our security sponsor, is going to be performing with the Pistoleros at Trail Dust Town at 8 o'clock. So if you want an evening activity after the sun goes down, join us over at Trail Dust Town. So we're at the Park Senior Village. Stop by. We're just south of Ina on La Cañada. When you see the Calvary Church, make a right. Go all the way till you see the administration building. Go to Building C and stop by for coffee and pastry. Wake up. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We're waking up the Park Senior Villas here at La Cañada, just south of Ina. Make sure you stop by the complimentary Signature Parks hot coffee and pastries, and come by and say hi. Just make a right turn on Desert Harbor, which is just south of the Calvary Church on La Cañada, and then find Building C near the administration office and stop on by. They have a beautiful breakfast area here, and we're just in the room off to the left. And remember, Bob Allison is giving tours of this beautiful community, and if you heard it on the radio anytime this weekend, they will send you home with a pizza, for goodness sake. So there's nothing wrong with that. We're hanging out with Oro Valley Mayor Joe Winfield, and he's several months into his first year as the mayor of Oro Valley. And you didn't think I was going to let you go without saying the word golf today, correct?
I thought that might come up.
It was such a big part of the election of you and three other council people. Mm-hmm. And I know this is not an easy thing to extricate a town from. This is kind of Harry Houdini-esque at times. What is the status right now of the process of trying to figure out how to extricate ourselves from a golf course that's losing at least, what, a couple of $1 million a year?
Yeah, in round figures, about $2 million.
Now, for everyone out there, I just want to give you a point of reference. The city of Tucson's golf courses, which we've been maligning, Marina Romero and I have been maligning those golf courses for years, after they were taken over, if you take all of the five courses together, they're actually breaking even, maybe making $56. But the 36 holes at Oro Valley are losing $2 million. So just to give you a little point of reference. So, Joe, where are we at in this thing?
Where we're at, Chris, is that I mentioned back in January we began the process of laying out our strategic leadership plan. Of course, golf is a component of that. In January, we had a study session for the council. February, a listening session. There's been at least from the view of the public, a gap, and we've met in probably a half a dozen executive sessions to really understand the contracts, agreements related to golf. It was important for the council to have a good in-depth understanding, of course, before moving forward. We will be having, and as part of that study session in January, staff laid out a preliminary plan, and that laid out that we would reach a decision by this September.
Okay.
July 24th, we'll have a special council meeting. It'll be at Church of the Nazarene, beginning at 6 o'clock. It will go until approximately 9:45. We're having this meeting there because of anticipating a large number of folks that will be attending, and we want to accommodate as many as possible. At that meeting, staff will lay out some of the options. The community will have an opportunity to express their views about those different options. They may have other ideas. And also our Budget and Finance Commission has been developing they have a base case and then some Excel sheets where you can plug in numbers to help us understand, you know, what are the operational maintenance costs related to the different options. When I say options, 36 holes, 27, 18, repurposing some of the fairways.
The different constituencies that are concerned by what's going on with the golf course. Just so for some of you folks who are not Oro Valley residents, Joe, how many people do we have living on this on these three courses? On these, it's 2.5 courses, I guess.
Yeah, there's a little upwards of over 500 homes that are immediately adjacent to the golf course. There's probably double that that you would call within the golf sphere.
Sure.
And so about 1,800 homes, but between 500 and 600 that are directly adjacent to the course.
Then at the same time, you have the previous incarnation of the council passed a sales tax to fill the holes of a $2 million loss, which a lot of us are like, well, we don't play golf. We don't have a house on this thing. Mm-hmm. Some of us go to the community center. A lot of us don't. So why are we doing all this? So this is the art of diplomacy, Mayor Winfield.
I think originally when the tax was passed, of course, it wasn't envisioned that there would be these deep losses. The original forecasts were optimistic. I don't know that they were necessarily optimistic, but the town hasn't hit those targets, and so the losses have been much deeper. As a result of that, the investment into capital improvements have been lagging because there just simply haven't been the cash to do that. So I think it's definitely a time to step back and reevaluate the golf course. I think that the courses, it is important open space that is in the center of our community. And I try to look at it in that way. I'm interested in how can we substantially reduce the tax subsidy. We're mindful of the property values, and I think that there are options in terms of helping to preserve property values that we're looking at, and that I think make a lot of sense. So
we should get a landscape architect to be in the council. So that's what, of course, Joe does in his real job. Now, real quick, before we let you go,
sure.
When you make decisions about a town and you look at the demographics that make up your town, and then how does it move forward in the future? What is, when you look at who makes up the town of Oral Valley, what is it? Because previously they were trying to say, oh, it's this growing thing of young families. We're not going to be a senior community, or at least not a good portion of that. What do you think the reality is of Oral Valley right now?
The data are, our community, actually, which was a little surprising to me, we moved here in 96, and it definitely felt more like a retirement community. As time has gone on, there certainly has been an infusion of families, but I use my street as an example. When we first moved here, there were about 26 kids on my street. Now, there's no kids.
Right. So, I see it in my neighborhood, too, where it seems like the family that sells the house is being. This is all anecdotally. There's no real data behind what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It seems to be being replaced by a retired couple, which is fine. I love them.
Well, replaced by a retired couple, or like my wife and I'll be retiring at the end of September.
Right.
So
right, your kids just got older. And
I call it age in place or retire in place. So actually, and you know, the census, the 2020 census will probably provide us some new insights as to what our community, the demographics of the community. But if you look at it right now, we've actually grown a bit older than we were a few years ago.
Yep.
And so that it is what it is. We certainly have, one of the magnets to Oro Valley are the wonderful school systems, both the public schools and charter and private. So that continues to attract a lot of families.
Sure.
We've got some great businesses in the community, Roche, Icogen, Secure Plane, others, and the many local businesses. Well, of course, they're local. I'm smaller business,
sure.
I think is what I was meaning to say. And they attract a younger workforce. So I think we'll continue to see an infusion of younger families, and the schools will attract parents that, you know, education is always the top priority.
Absolutely. The schools, because, you know, AmFi is making, their investments in their STEM school.
Mm-hmm.
You have Basis, Pushridge, Lehman. There's all these good options within the town center.
Yeah, there really are.
So yeah. What's your favorite part of being mayor?
My favorite part of being mayor, it's really meeting with individuals and with groups. I enjoy that opportunity to meet with young people, meet with constituents, so it's that one-on-one that I enjoy most.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Chris, thanks for having me. And again, congratulations on your 10th anniversary of being on the air.
Thank you, sir. That's Mayor Joe Winfield, Oral Valley. Spin away, Bob Allison from the Park Senior Villa is coming up next. We're going to tell you, give you a little preview of what they're doing here at the Park Senior Villas. And please stop by. Coffee, pastries. You can say hi to a radio guy. How's that for sad? Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. All right. 6:33. You're at either one. You were chilling with a little Steely Dan at Alexander, one of my favorites from the Asia album. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We're hanging out at the, we're doing a live remote here at the Park Senior Villas on La Cañada, just south of Ina. Please stop by for some beautiful pastries and coffee. Later in the show, we have Mr. McCluskey will be here with the crew from Charo, Chef Gary Hickey, and then Kyle Blessinger, I think, also is coming with Gary. So look forward to seeing those guys in the third hour for, we're keeping the Food Friday tradition alive here at the live remote between pastries, coffee, and the Charo kids at 8 o'clock. And remember, when you're coming on La Cañada, you'll see the Calvary Church, and then you'll see a big blue monument wall kind of sign that says Park Senior Villas. Just turn on there. It's called Desert Harbor. And then kind of follow the road along, and you'll see like a little sign for admin office. Look for Building C. Come on in and say hi and grab a cup of coffee. Good morning to our host here, Mr. Bob Allison, Marketing Director for the Park Senior Villas. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad. Okay. Let's see if I get your microphone up there a little bit. Say testing for me.
Test.
There you are.
Now a little closer if you can. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. There you go. Bob, for people who just, you know, just got here from Dubuque, Iowa yesterday and turned on the radio, what is a Park Senior Villas? Let's go right to the beginning.
Well, Park Senior Villas, we feel, is a unique model as far as assisted living and memory care goes. What we are is a neighborhood of, basically a neighborhood of group homes. We have, at the La Cañada community, we have 14 10-bedroom homes. So we can accommodate 10 residents per home, and each home has two of our staff members in place that puts us at a 1-to-5 ratio staff to resident, which is very, very good.
And they're 24 hours a day.
We're 24 hours a day, and at night we drop to one certified caregiver, but we do have extra help here on the midnight shift.
Now, the 10 bedrooms all have common shared areas. What makes up the common shared areas?
Well, we have 6,500 square foot homes with the 10 bedrooms. So we have common areas with basically be the equivalent of a family room, kitchen, dining area. We have 12 acres of secured fenced grounds for walking. The many features, water features, mountain views. It's a very nice setting.
Actually, as I was driving around looking for the building, it's one of the first things you notice is that you guys have put the proper fencing in all the right spots, so it's also safe to walk.
Very much so. Yes. Yes, very much so. We are, you know, there's not a lot of other residents in, other than our own selves here, so we do have like a wash behind us, but it's totally secured with our fencing.
Tell me about eating, right? How does that work? The idea of your three squares a day plus whatever's happening in between.
Okay, well, each home has its own kitchen, so the food is prepared in the kitchen of the resident, and so what's nice about that is you get the smells of the food cooking throughout the day, and it enhances appetites. Actually, residents look forward to meal time, so you can see them wandering back to the common area, which is basically the kitchen or the heart of the house.
Right.
So that creates a lot of mingling, a lot of socialization.
Now tell me about the, so we got to keep busy, right? So
yes.
as you're older, and if you have some memory issues and things like that, the best thing you can do is keep doing good things. So how are you guys programming days or weeks to keep everyone busy and sharp?
Well, we have over 90 activities scheduled on our calendar each month. That's what's scheduled. We also have a lot of drop-ins. We get school kids that come in and perform for our residents. But we like to keep them entertained with live music. We like to do a lot of our cookouts outdoors. We do gym exercise, card games, baking.
Okay. Now, for you, doing this job for you, what's you know, because you have people at various stages of their life. Mm-hmm. This is a tougher part of some people's lives. Mm-hmm. What's the fulfillment for you doing this job? Because it can be a tough job.
It is a tough job. It's tough for the caregivers at home. The children are finding a place for their parents. They're trying to take care of their parents. It's very difficult. And, you know, we appreciate what their efforts, but they eventually realize it's just too much for them. So we're able to bring people in. They can age in place. We don't move people from one house to another house. They can stay put where when they move in, they can stay in that same home.
So just to follow along on the internet, I'm going to confuse you guys just a little bit. So you got to go to the villas at LaCanada.com. They changed the name. They're in the middle of still doing some website work.
Yes.
So if you want to find out more on the interweb, you want to go to the villas at LaCanada.com.
Correct.
Now, do you guys still have an east side facility also?
We do. The villas at Houghton. So we have the same model there. There we have 9 10-bedroom homes.
Okay. So no matter what part of town you're in, you can check out East Side or Northwest Side.
Yes.
Just stop by. Now, you guys are doing, I like this, the tour, take, and bake deal. What's going on there?
What we're offering is if you want to drop by for a tour, take the time to tour with us, and we'll help you with dinner tonight because we're going to give you a family-sized pizza to take home with you.
Now, this is something that some people, 99% of people don't like thinking about getting old and where that leads them. But there's also the benefits of planning a little bit.
Right.
So when you say, when people listening to right now, who is the person listening to right now who maybe someone doesn't really need it right now? Mm-hmm. Who should be paying attention to possibly coming to visit you and taking a tour?
Well, due diligence is great when you're talking about senior planning. I always recommend actually fiduciary is a good person to get in touch with elder care lawyers. They can give you good advice. So it's never too soon. Things can happen, change tomorrow. I tour with people daily that will walk in and someone may have a stroke or something along that line and they're not prepared. They have no idea what to do next. Well, that's where we come in because we are experts in what we do. So we can help people along. We can offer advice. So we can help them with that.
So they do age-in-place care. You have villas care. It says may include you have individual care plans. So there's lots of different levels of care that you basically if you need it you can pay for it, but if you don't need a little bit of care, what's the highest level of care?
Our highest level of care is something that's actually bed bound.
Okay.
we can care for folks right to the end of days actually. So we have the level one care is basically somebody needs some supervisory levels of basically prompts, things of that nature. All the way up to where we're assisting with their dressing and their meals, as far as some folks need help with their eating. So we have been able to provide special diets for those folks too.
So a listener just texted me. They wanted to know if your parent or your grandparent is at the villas, at the Park Senior Villas, and they want to come visit. How does that work? The accessibility of your loved ones.
We have a 24/7 visitation here, so family members are more than welcome to come at any time. We ask that you basically respect the rest of the folks that are here, so no wild parties, anything like that. But
right.
They have access to their loved ones 24/7.
Okay, so we're here at the Park Senior Villas, and first of all, the tours are starting now.
Anytime, yes. Just give us a call, drop in. We're prepared.
What's the phone number? We have some old schoolers out there that like to use the phone.
Okay, so I prefer you call me directly. My number is 520-268-0001.
And, okay.
My name's Bob, and you can give me a call, and I'd be glad to set up a time to tour with you.
All right, so 268-0001. Now remember, so please stop by, grab a coffee and a pastry. Mm-hmm. Bob's been offering to me multiple times this morning.
I'm trying to be good.
You're
doing very good.
They look amazing.
Better than me. I stole a donut.
Fresh hot coffee. Just stop on by. Say hi to me and Bob and anyone who's here. And then, of course, now this pizza deal, how long is that going?
We're going to run that through the end of the day. If you can't make it today, give me a call, schedule a tour, and I'll provide you that pizza.
All right, 268-001. If you call in and you set up an appointment or just come in and do a tour with Bob, you'll get a take and bake pizza to go. And please mention that you heard all of this on Wake Up Tucson.
And
so
I'd also like to point out that there are solutions for every problem. And if you have any hurdles, anything that you're not quite sure about, give me a call. I'd be more than happy.
All right. More than happy
to help you out.
268-0001. Well, thanks for hosting us today.
Okay, no problem, Chris. Thank you.
And we'll meet a couple of your other professionals, folks here before. Who are we going to meet later?
Well, I have to go. I'm going to be in a meeting in about half an hour, and then
You're going to drag them out of the meeting.
Exactly.
Good job, Bob Allison. All right, thanks for having us here.
Okay, thank you.
We're at the Park Senior Villas here at La Cañada. As you're going south on La Cañada, or north, but basically we are just south of the Calvary Church. You'll see Desert Harbors, the road. Come on in. You'll see a big blue wall monument sign that says Park Senior Villas. So am I getting this right? I feel like it. So when they come in to find us here, what would you tell them to get the building seen?
When you pull into our driveway, which Desert Harbor Circle is the name of the street, actually. Okay. And you come to the end, you either go right or left, take a left, and it's the first villa on the right. So Villa C.
And parking?
There's parking out front.
Awesome.
Plenty of parking.
All right, so I'm Building C. So take Desert Harbor Circle off of La Cañada, take it to the end, and then I'll be on Building C on the left.
Right. So you get the end of the road, you'll see our new grounds that we put a new canopy in and pavilion, and turn left when you get to that.
All right. Bob Allison, thanks for having us, and we'll see you guys later.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Park Senior Villas, stop by. We'll talk about the passing of George Khalil when we come back and a few other things. Of course, it's this day in music history. We've got to do that with Ed or he gets angry at me. So 790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Live at the Park Senior Villas on La Cañada, south of Ina. Remember, Tuesday, we're doing our next live remote inside Biosphere 2. So wake up.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I was going to play the other hit by Guy and Butterfly, but I couldn't remember it. So, Philip Taylor Kramer, the bass player. There's the bass right there with Iron Butterfly.
There's Iron Butterfly, always known for their complicated bass lines. That's called sarcasm.
There you go. Mr. D, let me go get the phone. You go take care of that. Okay?
You do the voodoo you do all day. 790-2040 is the phone number. You are on Wake Up Tucson. We didn't get to it yet. We got right into our interview with Mayor Winfield when we started off. But rest in peace, George Khalil, Khalil Bottling. Doing an independent beverage company and kind of blew it up and provided that alternative to the two biggies and made quite a life and living out of it and was very generous with his money, not only with the University of Arizona, but of course he's a huge benefactor of Sal Point.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of millions of dollars to Sal Point.
I my headphones out. I can't hear you. Hold on a second.
Oh, then I'll stop because Ed's...
I'm just kidding.
We're talking about George Khalil.
Yes, my headphones popped out and it got really quiet all of a sudden. Known George for a long time. Hadn't seen him a lot lately. He's been out of the spotlight for quite a while. You'd watch the games on TV. You would go to the games and you would see that his seat was empty. He was not there. And it was a sinking feeling just being at the basketball games or whatever without seeing George. Just a gentleman, a soft-spoken gentleman, loved this town, loved his U of A basketball. You know, what did you say? He gave $2 million to when they built McHale and stuff like that. And
I was also talking about his generosity.
That's
right. It was really heavy to Sal Point.
Yes, and that too, which is amazing. But just back in the day, back when I first started going to the U of A football games in the 70s and 80s, I used to sit in George's row. George would have a whole row at the football game, and it would be the first row, okay?
Right.
So at basketball games, he was like the first row behind the team, the basketball, right behind the chairs. And football, he was the first. They had the student section, the Zona Zoo, and then there's the walkway and the big wall, and then George had the first row on the big wall at the 50-yard line. And all the football players were on the field. All the basketball players would come and hang with George. They just, he's like a dad to them, basically. And so there we were in the front row having the times of our lives. Couldn't afford the basketball tickets to buy from George, but did get the football tickets and spent many a year in good times with the man and sorely missed, a legend in Tucson. You know, of course, his brother is Frank Khalil.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, and another great gentleman. And, so I'm sure a lot of people have memories of, going on trips
to Alaska and Hawaii and everywhere else this darn team went. So.
I'm always wary of asking for phone calls during a remote, but if
I know.
Has a good George Khalil memory, we will chance it for George's memory. I didn't realize until Carmen Duarte did a nice little roundup of George in Star today, and I didn't realize Khalil started in 48. I didn't realize it was that old of a company.
No, I didn't either.
And they said that George and his wife lived next door. It was the original mixing room of the syrup.
Yeah.
For stuff. In addition to the $1 million or so to different things at the U of A, basically he did $1 million to Sal Point. He helped them fix Sal Point fix its basketball facility, paid for new lights on all their fields. And then, of course, he also donated his U of A some of his home basketball tickets to Sal Point Foundation, sure. Generating more than $420,000 for the Sal Point Foundation. So, and then inducted into the Beverage Industry Hall of Fame in 92.
Dude knew his stuff.
If you'd like to pay respects for George, services will be held at St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church on Thursday, July 18th, a viewing at 9:15, followed by a 10:30 funeral mass. Burial will be at Holy Hope on Oracle Road.
Thanks for that. Okay.
So
need you dead.
So let's go to some more mundane things. I think
Barney's on the line. If we could, I wanted to talk about the Villas.
Absolutely.
Let me see if we can do this. See if you guys can hear each other. Barney, are you there?
You did it, Ed.
Well, so far, let's see if he can hear you. Are you there?
I can't hear Barney. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you.
Okay.
Not that Joey's one to. I wanted to throw out a comment. It was a very nice segment on the Villas at La Jolla. A lot of people have mixed or even guilty feelings about the idea of, quote-unquote, putting mom or dad in a home.
Right.
And there is, you know, an obligation to honor our parents, our mother and father, and we often do what we can, provide care as we can. It's often just not possible to give a proper level of care. And doing this, rather than being detrimental, is actually a higher level of honoring, because there's certain things that we can't do, but if we are able to provide the proper care for our loved ones, it is actually a mitzvah, a proper action. So I wanted to throw that out, just because there's a lot of mixed feelings out there. And this is something that Dennis Prager talks about on occasion, and you know the wisdom that he puts out. So
sure.
Wanted to throw that out.
Barney, thanks for the call, man. That's much appreciated.
You bet, bud. See ya.
790-2040. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. We're live at the Park Senior Villas over at La Cañada. Ed, are we still sounding okay?
Yeah, you are. Clear? Yeah, you are.
Ed's
so studly.
Ginger cookie, I can tell right now.
You know? You didn't bring... It's not Food Friday here.
So you had to bring your own provisions.
I asked Mrs. Alexander to make... Of course, we have to have the ginger cookies. And I have a fruit and cheese basket today, is basically what I have. So
look at you.
What do we have?
You're
we have apples,
spoiled
nectarines, cheese sticks. Man, I am set.
It's National Eat Your Jell-O Day.
Oh.
Going out to Bill number 2.
You know why that is? Because it's Bill Cosby's birthday today. That's why. I bet you that's why it is.
Is it actually Bill Cosby's day?
Yeah, yeah.
It brings a whole new meaning to eat your Jell-O.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yikes.
Bill Cosby and Richard Simmons' birthday today. One of your favorites. We'll be sweating to the oldies.
He's my spirit animal, Richard Simmons. It's a National Simplicity Day. Let's not make things so complicated. And then one of the most fattening, amazing pies of all time day. It's National Pecan Pie Day.
They're rich, aren't they?
They're amazing. There used to be a place in Flagstaff I used to go to when I was going to school, and they made a Jim Beam pecan pie.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty magical.
All right, I'll get in line for that one.
This story just in from Bill number 2. I know Miley Cyrus says she's not going to have children, Ed.
I know.
Because of climate change.
Yep.
So this is a big thing for her. She'll not consider having a child due to the global warming-related anxiety that she feels.
We have enough children, she said. We don't need any more. So there you go. That's,
vowing
I'm
not
okay
to
with that.
Vowing not to reproduce
yeah.
until she's confident her offspring can, quote, live on an earth with fish
oh.
in water. Wow.
Hey, we got one. I know where there's not, you don't even have to go to Biosphere 2 to have that. You can have Biosphere 1 right now, Miley. I guess you left a sheltered life after you left the Disney World. Twerking, but you missed the fish part. There are actually fish in this world, girl.
Mr. McCluskey will be here at 9. A couple of stories we want to cover.
Not 9. What, 7 oh. or 8?
Eight,
maybe?
I apologize.
Okay.
Sorry, Sean.
You guys are going to eat the rest of the pizza at 9. I can see that happening. Okay.
Well, he's bringing Gary Hickey in, so from the Charoverse.
Excellent.
So we got to talk about Richard Elias and Adelita do not want to put those asylum seekers in Chuck's juvenile detention. It's too mean. They want to
stop it.
Oh, so we got that coming
really?
Up. Really? Yep. Doug Ducey is now welcoming Nike to Arizona.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the federal spending deficit that's massive, and we'll remind you of that. The Pima GOP steps up against sanctuary cities. What else do we got here today? We got a drinking water problem down in Sarita area. We got to talk about that.
Cover a lot of this stuff in the news. We'll take care of that for you coming up.
That's
so don't
good.
Go
so,
away.
So this is what we're going to do. So we got. There's a brawl that broke out at the. I'm going to love this. The White House had a social media forum, which is amazing. And I guess we had Sebastian Gorka, who used to work for Trump, and some guy almost having a throwdown on the Rose Garden lawn. So how's that for amazing?
Wow.
So
big news. You know, I swear to God. Come on.
Yeah.
I looked last night before I went to bed. ABCnews.com, CBSnews.com, NBCnews.com. Not a damn word about the Dow going breaking a record. 27,000. Not a word. The headlines, the top, because it says top stories, okay? The top stories on 2 out of 3 of them were R. Kelly was arrested again. That's what the hell is going on with the media.
Correct.
Stay away. Just stay away from your television, please.
Well, and like David and I were talking about, right, was yesterday, David Schweikert, they're against talking about jobs or any sort of, because, again, it's about killing Trump, buddy. That's what they want to do.